T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hour number 2, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Did anyone respond to your challenge yet?
No one. Oh. Actually, no, that's not true. Shime did. Shime did.
Like before you got out of the studio?
Yeah, I couldn't even get the challenge out, and he already challenged me. So at some point, we'll do that. Maybe we'll do it at a Lord Stanley's Cup.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That would be pretty amazing. It'd just be beer all over the floor.
We can make sure
I think
we use straws, too, so that we don't spill beer everywhere.
Oh, good point. Straws. Rossi's probably a big anti-straw guy. No, don't worry, Rossi. They're paper straws.
No, actually, I just recycle the straws.
Oh, okay.
I figured Rossi's such a germaphobe. He ain't drinking beer out of the cup.
But think about it.
God knows how many other people have drinks out of the cup.
Just dirty, dirty hockey players.
I'd have to do it just for the experience, but I'd be like, I'd go right to the doctor and get shots.
Right. Yeah, it's probably not a great thing to do. I mean, the thing is probably pretty gross. You only clean it so much. But isn't that cool, though? It's the same cup that all these guys.
He's got the gloves on, too. Mike had the gloves on when he was handling the cup.
Oh, of course he did. Yeah, you have to. You don't want your fingerprints on that, right?
Jason wishes he had a pair of those gloves.
I asked him for a pair. I did. When you
just to work in here with, right?
What'd he say?
I just said, do you have an extra pair so I could touch the cup? He said, no, I only have one.
Took one of them off and slapped you with it, which I found to be really disrespectful.
I'm pretty sure that's a sign that he wants to fight.
A duel. It's a duel challenge. It's a duel.
It's a
duel. And then Rossi, you know what he did? Back down.
I went right back into my producer's booth.
He cowered like a turtle. I'm like,
scaredy
he found a
cat.
Shell, got inside of a shell, and said, forget it.
I was like the Homer gif. I just slowly faded back away.
Right into the shrubs. Just, okay. That was a real shame, Rossi. You got to stand up for yourself. I thought 2019 Rossi was going to stand up for himself. Clearly, he is not.
I was doing well for about 2 months.
Yeah, you were.
And then gave up.
You know, it's okay. But anyway, it was good to see the cup here today. And we learned you can put 14 beers in it. I don't know if anybody has.
I saw the photo on Twitter of your kick-ass craft beer fridge.
Oh, yes.
You've got some options.
Oh, I can pour a few of those in there. Actually, I don't know if I want to mix them, but yeah, I can pour a few of those in there.
And those collected over time, or is that like, hey, this weekend,
no,
it's a long
Friday.
Weekend?
No, I did like a couple of different runs. That was probably 3 different runs. 2 different breweries and like a grocery store got all that together. Pretty good. You get mixed comments. I have a craft beer fridge, and I tweeted out a picture of it over the weekend. And you get all the people that are like, oh, this is awesome. This is great. And then they send you pictures of their fridge. And then you get the other people, like Andy Hart, going, Hardo, oh, why don't you just drink a regular beer? I'm like, I've had plenty of regular beers, okay? This is what I like.
Andy Hart calling anybody a Hardo?
I know.
Come on.
The dude has a rubber wedding ring so he can lift. And he called me a Hardo.
Actually, I have one of those.
You have a rubber wedding ring so you can lift?
Well, that and any other physical activity.
What physical activity are you doing?
None of your business.
Nothing. He can't think of one.
Well,
he couldn't even think of one to make up.
Andy Hart has the rubber wedding ring,
yes.
So he can lift.
Right.
He also was complaining because he's on vacation and signed up for a ping pong tournament, and somebody showed up with their own paddles.
Yeah, and he lost probably in the first round, and he's blaming it on these guys being pros or ringers or whatever else. Yeah, wait a minute. So he's on vacation right now. And he's commenting on my Twitter?
Yes.
That must be a hell of a vacation. Good Lord.
I'll be afraid.
Get off of Twitter. It's your vacation. That's like the one time no emails, no Twitter. You're on vacation, especially if you're somewhere like a resort or like a beach or like anything like that. What are you doing with your phone? Hey, let me scroll through Twitter and comment on Keith's beer fridge. Must be going great. He's really having a hell of a vacation.
So the other, and I don't want to creep you out, Jason, but there's a simple fact of life here.
Yeah.
That it's not just beers that get put in the cup. Sometimes it's breakfast cereal. I'm okay with that.
I've seen that. Milk. Yeah, yeah.
So that's okay. I've also seen babies placed in the cup.
Oof. And I don't know if
babies do things sometimes.
What do they do?
So
you
there
tell
has,
me. I need
there
to know
has
here.
Been baby stuff in that cup too, Jason.
I'm on baby watch right now. I could leave the studio at any minute.
You know what you need to do?
What?
I'm not going to ask about this, so you don't have to answer it. But if you're going to baptize your child, baptize it in the cup.
Ooh, that's not a bad idea.
Even if you don't even care about religion,
That's not a bad idea. And we're like, tell me the story again about how I was baptized in the Stanley Cup.
Well, think about it. If they win, they'll do that like tour of like the North End sometime in July.
Yeah, you'll see.
It'll be a real
anywhere.
Early baptism, but just toss the baby in there.
Would you be primed then to be like the NHL Messiah?
Probably.
I think that's kind of how that works, right?
I think you would be the
chosen
one.
No, that's Jermaine Wiggins.
Yeah. You would be the prince that was promised, Chaim. That's what you would be.
A lot of prophecy, no payoff.
No payoff. Very fitting.
So we will we'll do an abrupt about face here and talk about something that was not so pleasant yesterday. Kind of an impromptu press conference called at Fenway Park. The manager, Alex Cora, the general manager, president of baseball ops, Dave Dombrowski, and Dustin Pedroia. And let's bring you a cut of Pedroia, because I got to be honest with you. I'm at the point now where I think if you ever see this guy in a Red Sox uniform playing in a major league game, I'll be surprised.
I mean, I knew I'd have tough days, you know, throughout this process. The next day I woke up and it wasn't any better. So, you know, it's to a point now where my knee is not allowing me to play every day. It's taken a while to realize that. I've tried so many things, you know, from braces to orthotics to rehab methods to seeing different doctors to every type of treatment possible. So, you know, I'm at a point right now where, you know, I need some time, and that's where my status is.
Yeah, I mean, he's done, you know, and I think it's pretty predictable. I know a lot of people going into the year were talking about, oh, is he going to be able to play over 80 games? It's like, no chance. There's no chance he's going to be able to do that. He's even talked about, you know, this knee injury that he had, nobody's really come back from. And in fact, Stephen Wright has the same injury as him, and then he had to dope himself up to try to get back. Like, it's just, I don't think it's going to happen. He played 3 games last year. He played in 6 games this year. Next thing you know, he's getting scratched from games in the minors, like in his rehab starts. Like, it's just, it's not going to happen. This guy played super hard the whole time he was in his career. Maybe is what led to these injuries, but he had a great career, but it's over.
It's the part that puzzles me in this town. Because to your point, and I agree with you 100%, when the ball was in play between the lines, you could never question Dustin Pedroia's effort. He went all out, all in, every single inning that he ever played. He was an MVP. I think he was a Rookie of the Year.
Which is crazy.
He's a World Series champion. Yeah. From a player's perspective, I don't know what more you could ask for from a player than what he's given. And the injuries that he suffered, probably a direct result of how hard he played. And yet there are people in this town, get him the hell out of here.
Well, I mean, you don't want him taking up a roster spot anymore. So
he's,
I understand that.
He's now on the 60-day IL. So.
Yeah, so I don't understand the, oh, he has to retire comments, because that doesn't make any sense. Like, he signed a contract, and if you think the contract is bad, fine. But guess what? He signed it. He has 2 more years left.
They
signed it. He's making $15 million this year, which is, you're just flushing money away. $13 million next year, light it on fire. $12 million the year after that, bury it in the ocean. Like, those, at that point, you know, he is going to collect every penny, though. These are guaranteed contracts
and
in baseball.
He should.
But, I mean,
especially if his retirement is precipitated by injury. If he's not able to play anymore because his body just won't allow him to, he should get every single dime.
But it is too bad, too, that you're right. A guy who, you know, was on, you know, won a couple of World Series and, you know, was an MVP and all that and had a really good career. The last kind of moments, though, that I remember of Dustin Pedroia, and I think his story, when you look back on him, will be different than this. But the most recent things are the, hey, it's not me, it's them, when he's screaming in the dugout and he's taking Manny Machado's side. And then it's when the Red Sox season seemingly was kind of falling apart and people were questioning if they were a leader. He shows up at the last hour and is like, who else is here? Nobody. I'm the only leader here. And you're like, ugh. Like, he became, to me, very unlikable. That was at the end.
Right. And 2 off-field things. On field.
Not on the field. Right.
On the field, I don't know anybody who could ever question anything they ever saw from Dustin
Well,
Pedroia.
The one was ish on the field, right? When he was in the dugout yelling out there. So that was sort of like, that was kind of weird. And you're like, hey, you're kind of throwing Matt Barnes under the bus. You're throwing your manager under the bus. You're throwing some of your teammates under the bus a little bit. Like, that was sort of a weird thing. But overall, I just think when he was on the team and you had bigger personalities on it, like David Ortiz, he was in a good spot. He could be the cocky guy. He could, you know, say whatever he wanted. He could hit. He could play his ass off. That was great. But when the big personalities were gone and you looked to find who was the longest tenured guy on the team and you pointed it at Pedroia, I don't think he was as comfortable in that role. But yeah, his playing days are certainly over, because even earlier than this, he would at least give you the, no, I'll be back. I'll be playing every day. And I didn't believe it, but he was saying that. And now not even he's saying that. So well, that's a real sign that this thing is over.
In fact, if you want to talk ominous, we'll give you the other cut.
Yeah.
What else Dustin Pedroia said yesterday that sounded even more ominous?
I knew I'd have tough days, you know, throughout this process. I'm not sure. You know, I think that's a part of, you know, the time right now is figuring that out. You know, I've been lucky to be with this organization and to deal with the people in our training room and our doctors. And
Now, in the interest of making sure you understand, the question was asked of him specifically, do you see yourself playing baseball again?
I'm not sure. You know, I think that's a part of, you know, the time right now is figuring that out. You know, I've been lucky to be with this organization and to deal with the people in our training room and our doctors and have the best, you know, manager, coaching staff, front office. And they've been, you know, leading me in the right direction the whole way. I mean, it's unfortunate, you know, the type of injury that I had and I have. You know, I'm just trying to listen to everybody and try to do the right thing. And then they care about me, and you can't say that about everybody, you know, every team or things like that. But everybody here truly cares about me, and you know, I love them for it.
And he said specifically, no more surgeries. There will be no more operations.
Because he was saying, too, it could affect him, his life.
Right.
Like, it's not just, oh, you know, get this surgery and maybe he'll be able to play again. It's like, no, it depends. Certain surgeries, apparently, for what they're... what would be required, it might mess him up long term, and so he's not going to do that. And I just think that's it. I mean, he had a really good career. You know, he's 35 years old. That's it. Now, I know you have a couple of years left, and he's going to make that money, and it's a tough decision. Like, he wants to play. Like, guess what? A lot of guys want to play. Not everybody can just retire on their own, right? Not everybody can just say, "Hey, I had a great career. I'll see you later." Most guys, and pick a sport. Most guys want to keep playing. But they can't. Either it's because of injury, or guess what? These younger guys are
not good enough anymore.
That's it. You're all done. So, you know, what the team does from here, I don't know. I mean, can you just keep him on the DL forever? I don't think so. Eventually, you're going to have to either cut him or just pay him his money and say, see you later.
I do understand that it was literally that moment. It's not me, it's them. It's literally that moment.
Yep.
That turned fans, some fans, on Dustin Pedroia. And I'm thinking, really? That's everything else he did in his career. Rookie of the Year, MVP, World Series champions, all those other things got negated by saying that phrase?
Well, then he followed it up with the "I'm the leader" guy. I don't think that bothered
people as much as it's not me, it's them.
Yeah, it's pretty bad because you're on the team. Hey, teammate. Hey, teammate, why are you kissing Manny Machado's ass? That made no sense. That was so bizarre to see that. And he really wanted to make it clear that, hey, Manny, I'm on yours. Of all people, too. Manny Machado? People hate Manny Machado.
By the way, Dustin probably ended your career.
Yeah, maybe.
Now, I'm sure he didn't know that then, but...
But still, and he's, like, defending him. That was just a weird spot. And, yeah, now it's... that's it. And so to hear him even say that, that was really the first time. Because you knew the way the season started... These guys weren't on the same page. Remember Dustin Pedroia was saying, like, he's good to go. Teammate, the team's just kind of scared.
Yep.
And then so he was ready to go opening day, or so he thought, and he started the year on the DL. Remember, they had 11 straight days on the road. He wasn't activated until they came here. Then he only played in a few games. He couldn't play when it was wet. He couldn't play. I don't think they want to play him back-to-back. So you can't have a guy, you can't carry a guy who only plays second base and play him once, you know, once a week or whatever. Like, that's just not going to work.
And he probably will never play again in a Red Sox uniform.
I don't think so. I'd really be surprised at this point. And even this year, I mean, again, the last 2 years, just kind of forcing it out there and trying to see if he could go. Again, I go back to last season where it seemed like they kind of rushed him in a way. I mean, they brought him up. Wasn't it May that they brought him up last year? And you're saying,
three whole games?
More. This is closer to the injury. Like, what are you doing here? And they tried it. Didn't work. And again, I don't know what the rush was. Like, you have him under contract for a while. But maybe it doesn't really matter. You know, maybe it's the type of injury that, guess what? Next month, he's going to be dealing with the same stuff. 2 months from now, he's going to be dealing with the same stuff. And so that means to me that that's going to be it.
And the other baseball news of the weekend, in addition to the fact that Dustin Pedroia may be done as a player, was the death of a former Red Sox icon. And unfortunately, Bill Buckner is remembered for one play more than other players. It was Tyler Kepner who had the stat, and he tweeted this out on the day that Buckner passed away. And the numbers may be off by a bit, but it's not far. He said, on the day Bill Buckner passed away, 21 players in the major leagues struck out three times in a game. Buckner played like 20-some-odd years in the major leagues.
A long career, yeah.
And never did it once.
Yeah.
He never struck out three times in a game in his career. In fact, yeah, one season he struck out like 38 times or something.
Yeah, he won a batting title. You know, he hit .289 for his career. And you mentioned was like 21, 22-year career. I just think that, you know, as somebody who was born in 84, so he commits the error in 86, didn't see it live, and you're just sort of brought up in Bill Buckner cost them the World Series. And playing Little League, anytime a ball went between somebody's legs, nice job, Buckner. It was all right. That stuff. And you were just led to believe for so long that this one person cost them a World Series. And I remember, I forget how old I was. I was probably like 12, 13 or whatever it was. And I finally, I don't know if it was I saw the video or if I was just reading about it. The game was tied. It was game six, and who's to say they would have won game six, and then they had a game seven, which they lost. Why don't you blame Bob Stanley for throwing a wild pitch and allowing the tying run to score?
Or the
skipper for leaving him in.
Even more importantly, blame John McNamara, who never should have had him in there in that position.
No.
And hadn't been doing it the entire season.
So dumb.
He got carried away with the emotions of the moment. I want Bill on the field when they win the World Series.
But I could see, like, that thing got blown so far out of proportion. Like, I think that is so unfair. And I know that's easier to say now, and you know, when they won the World Series, everybody sort of, you know, they talked about him again, and people apparently forgave him. I understand that in 1990, when he returned, he got a standing ovation. So maybe it was overblown anyway. Like, I think the fans didn't hate him as much as was perceived, but that was such a, he was so synonymous with why they lost, and it was one player, and it's insane. I remember I think my jaw hit the floor when I found out for the first time that, oh, the game was already tied? So if he fields the ball and steps on first,
they keep going.
The game's not over. They didn't win. Like, that would have made more sense to me. Like, there are times where one player, one play costs a team, and the game is over, series over, Super Bowl over, whatever it is, because of one play. Like, Pete Carroll not handing the ball to Marshawn Lynch, in my mind, that single-handedly cost
that
them
one
a Super
play.
Bowl.
Yeah.
Bill Buckner steps on the bag, they might lose the game in the 12th. Or they also had a whole game seven to win it. Like, there's not a more unfair kind of GOAT scenario in the history of sports, I think, than Bill Buckner. That was crazy. And I just don't think enough people knew. And then it kind of snowballed, and it just kept going. You're like, oh, that's the guy. That's the guy. And they would always show the highlight. They would always show that highlight when they would do World Series, you know, getting you excited for whatever year the World Series was. And it's behind the bag, and it's between Bill Buckner's legs. But they don't tell you that the game was tied at that point. That's so stupid.
I only met him a couple of times, so this is not based on, you know, some intimate knowledge of Bill Buckner. Interviewed him a couple of times, met him a couple of times. I was happy to hear people who did know him and you know, knew him much better than I did, all say the same thing. The impression I had was that, what a nice guy.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. And he was in an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm where he was great, where he was kind of like in on the joke. And then at the end, there was a nice payoff where you know, he was like bobbling
did
things.
Did signings with Mookie Wilson.
Yeah, so I mean, he was able to do it, but yeah, that's the other thing I don't think a lot of people realize is just how good his career was and everything else. But man, just an unfair, really, couple of decades for him. Just to like, that was the reason why they lost. Like, that's not the reason why they lost.
The narrative gets blown out of proportion. Jerry Callahan said this morning he happened to go talk with Buckner at his house in Andover And this was Buckner's literally having a yard sale. They're getting ready to move to Idaho. And Jerry said, you know, are you being forced to move because of, you know, people harassing you and your family? And he laughed at it. He said, no. He said, I've got a real estate opportunity in Idaho.
That was all part of the mystique, though.
Right. And everybody thought that fans drove him out of town.
That's 100% what I heard growing up, was that he cost them the World Series, fans turned on him, and they should have, and then he had to move to Idaho. And you're like, oh, my God. Like, that is unbelievable. Like, this guy cost them a World Series. And then you do just like a little bit of research. And I'm sure if we were doing sports talk radio then after the game, that would have been part of the story. But I feel like somebody let it get out of hand to turn it into he's the one guy's fault. And Stanley doesn't get any kind of blame for it. And then they just like assume that they would have won the game, which is crazy.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get back to the calls with you in just a couple of minutes. We're going to talk to Mark Savard, former Bruins great. He'll join us in just a couple here and talk about last night's game one. And another guy whose career ended earlier than he wanted it to, like Dustin Pedroias. We'll talk to him about the pain that that causes as well. It's Dale and Keith first.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We've got a trend. Coverage of the Bruins and Stanley Cup Final on WEEI is brought to you by your New England Toyota dealers and Atlantic Power Cleaning. It's been so much fun for Bruins fans to reconnect with former Bruins star Mark Savard. In fact, he was a fan banner captain earlier in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and he joins us on the line right now. Hello, Mark. How are you?
Great. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Great. Thank you. I know that going into the final, you thought the Bruins were going to win the series. I saw that you had tweeted that out. Did you see anything last night that changes your opinion at all in how long it's going to go?
No, I'm not going to get ahead of myself. The St. Louis Blues have been the best team in hockey really since Christmas, and I know that, you know, Craig Berube is going to adjust. You know, I played with Chief back in Calgary, and he's done a heck of a job with the Blues. So I'm not going to, you know, rush anything. I still think it's going to be a long series. The Blues did come out strong, and yeah, the Bruins had a long layoff, but still, I think this is still going to go to the max, and I still think the Bruins will be able to pull it out. And, you know, what a great start last night.
And it does seem like it's going to be pretty physical. I think the hits were pretty even, and both teams were flying around at times. If it is a real physical series, who does that benefit?
Well, I mean, we've seen in the past the Bruins can play it pretty much any way. The Blues, that's kind of their MO, is to play physical, keep pucks low. You know, that's going to be their most successful way of trying to win hockey games. They're not the fastest team, so I think that's what they praise, is to keep pucks low, get as many shots at the net as you can, and get traffic. So, I mean, when you say that, I think that's unfair, because I think both teams can play the physical game, and I don't think it benefits anybody. I think it's just going to be a long, hard-fought series.
If you're Craig Berube in the Blues, are you a little bit unhappy with the fact that the Bruins' top line really didn't do much last night at all, but it was the third and fourth lines that ended up beating you?
Yeah, he's gonna have to make some adjustments for sure. That, you know, and everybody keeps saying Corrales the fourth line. I mean, when a line's playing 16 minutes a night, that more sets up for a second line. So he's gonna have to make adjustments, maybe change some matchups if he can on the fly. But you know, credit to Bruce Cassidy. He's one of the few coaches in the last while that I've seen. If a guy's going, he's gonna play. And a good one example of that is Marcus Johansson last night. I thought he had an excellent game, and Bruce was able to use him multiple times because he knew he was going. So when a coach does that, I mean, the players, you know, really see that, and they want to work hard because they know if they do, they're going to get a chance to play. And I think that's what's going on with the Corrales line right now. And like I said, Johansson's game last night was great.
Bruins' power play has been the best in the playoffs. And last night, they capitalized. They did score one power play goal, but 1-for-5. Was that more St. Louis's penalty kill being up to the challenge, or was it maybe the Bruins not having everything clicking?
Well, again, that goes back to a little bit of rust. You haven't played in a while. I thought they had some good looks, though, and took the momentum a couple times. They didn't score, but they, you know, had good control, made good plays. Fanned on a couple shots. I remember Marchand on the back door. I think it was early in the third. He kind of had an open net, and he just fanned on it. So it's going to take a little bit of time, but again, they got one goal, and anytime you score on the power play, you've pretty much done your job and helped your team win like they did last night.
We're talking with former Boston Bruins, well, still Boston Bruins fan favorite, but former Boston Bruins star Mark Savard. I want to ask you about Zdeno Chara. As a former teammate and as an observer of the game, how do you assess Zdeno Chara's impact on the game at this stage of his career?
Well, I mean, he's been great. I mean, he's looked a little lethargic at times. I remember the Toronto series when guys pick on him a bit. But, you know, he's 42, and he's the biggest guy in the league. But his reach, again, I can count numerous times last night where he broke up some plays just with that reach. And it doesn't hurt to have a young Charlie McAvoy on your other side. I mean, they're such a good pairing. V doesn't try and do too much, and I think that's why he's been so successful. He keeps it easy. He knows that if he moves the puck over to McAvoy and slides in behind him, McAvoy's going to do most of the work as long as he can stay back, use that reach, and be physical and block shots like he did last night.
So do you think he still plays like a top pair defenseman in the league?
I think along with McAvoy, and I relate it to the Ron Hainsey here in Toronto this year with Morgan Rielly, there's a lot of similarities. As long as, you know, Z can keep up and keep doing his work, I think he can play on that top pair with McAvoy. And they have such a good connection and chemistry that I think, you know, they can probably get another year or two out of him. And, you know, when you're challenging for the Stanley Cup final, you know, again, your career at this age, I think that says enough that he can definitely be a top pair defenseman in the National Hockey League.
Mark, I'm not sure if I thought of Patrice Bergeron as a Hall of Fame player until the last few years. He's actually improved his game. His offensive numbers have spiked. He's always been a 200-foot player. Do you actually see Bergeron getting better as he's gotten a little older?
I really do. I mean, he's a lock for the Hall of Fame, and that's been for quite some time now. I think looking back to his first Stanley Cup, it kind of cemented that. But he's been fantastic. And like you said, he's got better with age. His offensive game's gotten better, which I was surprised when I played with him. You know, we knew he had offensive talents. His statistics never really showed that. But with that line he's on, you know, he's able to do his stuff defensively, make good plays, and score goals. So he's been Mr. Everything for the Boston Bruins for the last 10 years. And he's continuing to show why he's one of the top centermen in the National Hockey League.
And just what does that second cup mean, you know, legacy-wise, for guys like Bergeron, Marchand, Krejci, and Chara to win that? Obviously, it's so impressive to win the one, but then now if you win two in an eight-year span, what does that mean?
I think that means you can build a house right inside the garden if you want. But, you know, they're going to be loved forever, and they already are. But to get two in that greatest sporting town really in the world for winning championships, I mean, it's just going to cement anything they want to do, they'll be able to do, and well-earned, well-deserved. I know they all work hard, and they're great guys too, so that goes a long way. But those guys are exactly that. They're going to be champions in that city forever.
What was it like for you when you came back into the building? I saw how the fans responded to you when you were the fan banner captain. What was it like for you?
Very emotional. You know, I hadn't been there in a long time. I was very anxious, you know, to get out there and do it and swing the flag. But Just a lot of emotions running through my body and you know, chills of good stuff. And I just really enjoyed my time coming back there. We'd like to get up again. We couldn't make game two. We were supposed to come down, but maybe game five, if there is one, we'll be down for that one. But again, it's something I'll remember forever, and it's something I kind of needed to do. I hadn't been there in forever, and it was a good thing that I was able to do it. And, you know, I went through some tough times, obviously, so that was just something that, you know, freed me up a little more again, just getting back in town, seeing a lot of people that I knew, and just having a great time. And I'm glad the Bruins are continuing to have a great playoffs.
Well, and we know, Mark, you know, unfortunately your career ended prematurely due to injury, and we're seeing something similar right now with Dustin Pedroia. Now, the injuries are certainly very different, but it's keeping him from playing. He just had a press conference yesterday. He's played in 9 total games the last 2 seasons. He clearly wants to play, but his body is not letting him. Just how difficult was that for you, and what were sort of the steps to sort of really understand that your career was over, but you had to go on?
Yeah, it took a while. It really did, and it was a tough run. And I you know, understand what he's going through right now. It's definitely not easy. You want to be there. You want to help, and that's the player, and that's all you ever knew since you were a kid. So it takes a long time. I don't know if you ever really get over it. It's you know, something I still think about on a regular basis. That, you know, I wish I could have played a little longer and done a little more in my Boston career. But looking back, you know, I'm pretty fortunate, and I think that's what he's got to realize. He's had a great career already. You know, I got 4 beautiful kids and a great wife, and I'm very lucky, and I cherish those things more now, and I'm really enjoying life. I've been able to put that chapter behind me. It took a long, long time. I got to be honest, and it's going to take him a long time too. And, you know, I'm not saying that he's done, but it's going to take a while. It's always something like you grow up, you play street hockey. You do everything. Your life's, you know, devoted to being a professional athlete, and all of a sudden it ends abruptly. So I understand what he's going through. It's tough, but at the end of the day, now that I look back, it was all worth it.
Every athlete knows when they begin their professional career that there will be an end to it. That's not the question here. Is it the fact that you don't get to decide how it ends?
Yeah, I think that was the toughest part. You know, a lot of guys get to go out on their own, or you know, they just don't get re-signed, I guess. But at the end of the day, when it ends abruptly, not because of your decision, because of, you know, another player's decision, it makes it definitely that much tougher. But like I said, I'm in a happy place. I've been able to get past all that stuff now, and I'm really looking forward to my future and doing stuff ahead. If this weather ever gets good up here in Canada so I can golf more, I'd be very happy. I'm waiting for that to happen. But again, I'm glued in on these playoffs. Obviously the Raptors up here are having a good run, so there's a lot of stuff to watch on TV, which is nice.
Has Toronto become a basketball town?
It really has. It's amazing. They've been waiting for their Leafs for so long, and obviously the Jays have gone through a tough spell, and to have this team, and I'm not even a basketball fan, but to be honest with you, I cue in every kind of mid fourth quarter to watch the end. But it's been pretty exciting, and the whole city's talking about it. You know, right from here, Peterborough, where I am, right up to Toronto, it's been pretty incredible, and the excitement, and you know, the star status some of those players have, the way they've worked, and these Toronto area people have been waiting a long time for a champion, and I have a good feeling about the Raptors as I do of the Bruins.
I mean, part of me kind of wants to see it come here for a game 5. Part of me hopes there isn't one.
Yeah, well, I got to agree fully, you know. But again, I think we got to slow down a bit. This is a big-time hockey team, the St. Louis Blues. They have been down this year. They were down 2-1 to San Jose and came back. So they've been doing it all season since Berube took over, like I said, and they're gonna put up a fight. So I definitely don't think it's gonna be over in 4 games. But the Bruins do have an advantage now that they won game 1, so they only gotta win 3 more. So it'll be interesting, but I think there'll be a game 5, and hopefully I can attend it.
Mark, good to talk to you again. I hope we see you down here.
Okay, guys, thanks. Good luck.
Take care. Mark. That is former Boston Bruins center Mark Savard. And time sometimes dulls your memory. He was so skilled.
He was awesome.
And
yeah.
People who don't remember, you know, how gifted he was and how good he was.
But think about it. I mean, him and Chara also really turned the tides because it was going in a bad
same
direction
day.
For the Bruins.
Brought them both in on the same day.
And perfect. And he gave them some legitimacy. You know, he was a 90-plus point scorer. He was fantastic. Part of that team that swept the Canadians, what was that 09, I think, in the first round. And you're saying, all right, here we go. Now you might have yourself a team on your hands. And it really is, it's unfortunate that he wasn't able to be a part of that 11 team or more part of that team. I think he played some of the regular season there, but he couldn't have been a part of that playoff run because he was great. He was one of the more skilled guys they had in a long time.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We will, later on in the program, play us some of the Chris Berman sound from last night. Called the game with Joe Castiglione. We'll call tonight's game as well. But we'll get back to the calls with you in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You know, Randy, obviously that was bad news with the four-game suspension, but what it does for New England, it gives them roster flexibility. He won't be on the roster on opening day, and therefore, as a veteran, his contract won't be guaranteed. They only gave him $600,000 in upfront money, so between now and the fifth game of the regular season, if another option presents itself, they could simply move on from Watson and not reinstate him after week four. So, obviously, this was some bad news, but this actually creates some flexibility for them.
I don't know how much I get fired up getting positive reviews from Mike Tannenbaum.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
Mike Tannenbaum talking about the suspension of Ben Watson, which Ben Watson announced over the weekend. He also said that he knew it was coming. The Patriots knew it was coming, and they knew it when they signed him. He'll be suspended for the first four games of the upcoming season as a violation of the substance abuse policy. He didn't give you any of those phony baloney. I don't know where that came from.
I respect that. Yeah. I have no idea. A million to one. I'm going to fight this. I'm going to find out who did it. Those ones are the worst.
I'm going to hunt them down and beat them.
No, he had a whole long thing about how he retired and he thought he was done, and then he wanted to get this kind of treatment, and he knew that it was, you know, you wouldn't be able to pass a drug test. And then he decided that he wanted to come back, and then boom, he gets popped four games. You're like, okay. But the Patriots are so desperate at tight end. They have four games. You can take eight games off. We just need bodies. We need tight ends, so they don't really seem to care. But this just, again, goes back into, like, did anybody even bat an eye at this? If you test positive for roids or performance enhancers of any kind.
In this case, it was testosterone.
So, like, whether you're Edelman or Rodney Harrison or whoever, nobody cares.
Nope.
Right? It's football. Nobody cares.
I mean, if the suspension came, you know, all of a sudden, it's you know, week 17 of the NFL season, yeah, and they announce that player so-and-so is suspended for the next four games, and you miss the playoff run, and it ends, yeah, up hurting your team. It might be different.
That'd be frustrating, but a lot of them seem to be off-season stuff. You know,
right.
Even like Rob Ninkovich, and then the next thing you know, you start the year suspended. And for Edelman, a couple of years ago, or last, wasn't that kind of beneficial last year? I thought, like, an older guy, takes a lot of hits, missed four meaningless games. They're meaningless for the Patriots. Other teams need every single game. Patriots, you know they're going to win the division.
No, there's no stigma attached to this,
no.
I think, for fans.
Well, because you're very clear, football doesn't matter, baseball it does.
Yeah.
Like, you don't
it
like it for baseball
way, yeah,
guys, which I don't understand how you can do that. I feel like it's all or nothing. Like,
oh, no, I'm just saying, I think that the perception
I don't think
is,
you're alone. I'm just
right.
saying, but no, but we've had this debate before where, like, Edelman, would not that I think he's a Hall of Famer, but would that prevent Edelman from getting in the Hall of Fame?
Right.
Everybody says no, whereas, like, A-Rod, will that prevent him? It's like, well, yeah, probably, like, the way these guys vote on it.
Like, Brady was suspended for four games, not for substance abuse.
Yeah.
Do you think that's even going to have one shred of effect on his Hall of Fame candidacy? Not even for
a
minute.
No, that won't at all, but I'm talking about specifically.
Even if it had been for substance abuse, it wouldn't have done anything.
No, right, but that's football. Like, Bonds and Clemens are two of the best I've ever seen, and they're not in the Hall of Fame because of roids. Meanwhile, football, pick whatever guy you want, it won't matter. It doesn't matter at all. And so, and then, you know, people have said last year, remember, oh, like they shouldn't be allowed to play in the playoffs like in baseball. Like, no, they don't care. They just want the best players out there. And if they need to do this crazy stuff to get back out onto the field, then so be it.
Just to reiterate the rules here, Ben Watson can go through the mandatory mini camp. He can go through training camp, just as Julian Edelman did last summer.
Right.
He can play in the preseason games. When the preseason is over and they start the regular season schedule, he then has to vacate the facility. He can't be around the team. He can't be working out down there. He can't be practicing. He just sort of goes into limbo for 4 weeks and then right. slides back into the lineup after.
Yeah, I think the Monday after they play their week four game or whatever, he can show up and he'll be ready to go,
theoretically.
Now, one of the things is they have a lot of different tight ends. And if for the first four games, let's say hypothetically, play it out, try not to laugh, Matt Lacoste and Ryan Izzo play really, really well.
Okay. That's a relative term.
Okay, maybe it happens. Or yeah. Steven Anderson or whoever. Maybe Ben Watson isn't a lock to be back.
I was going to say, don't you sort of feel like they're playing without a tight end for the first four weeks now?
Yes, I do. And I'm not convinced if he's
back. Austin Seferian Jenkins, if he could stay healthy.
I was going to say, probably gets hurt week four, then he just swap him out.
Gives them a viable, you know.
Yeah. I just think that, you know, it's not the end of the world for the Patriots, but for Ben Watson, it's just sort of maybe you had a leg up on everybody else. But if somebody, just based on your track record, but if somebody else steps up, maybe they can take the job. I find it unlikely. I think after 4 weeks, people are going to be, or the Patriots will be thrilled to have Ben Watson back and see if he can give them anything, because I have a good feeling that that position all year long is going to be very underwhelming, and you're going to have the stats of here's what the average tight end production is around the league, here's what, you know, Travis Kelce and George Kittle are doing, and then all the way at the bottom, here's what the Patriots tight ends are doing.
I also think it has to do with who you're rooting for. I mean, I'm sure outside of New England, the storyline here is going to be, see, another cheater wearing a Patriots uniform.
Yeah.
We talk about baseball suspensions all the time. We sort of push under the rug the Michael Chavis suspension,
Nobody talks about it at all. He's a roid guy.
Yeah, and
he's
doing great.
I personally don't care about any sport. If you want to get all hopped up on goofballs in any one of the sports, if you're going to play better, do it. You just can't get caught. Like, that's the thing, like you said. Chavis, nobody cares about it now, but if all of a sudden you're relying on him at second base and he gets popped this season, then all of a sudden you care about it. But if he's working his way up from the minors, you're like, ah, heck, that's just what you do. That's what you do to get ready. And so it obviously worked for him. He's playing really well, and whether he's still doing the stuff or not, I have no idea. It's just he's not testing positive for it right now, so that's a good thing.
All right, I buried the lead here. It's Tuesday.
Tuesday.
I forgot it was Tuesday.
It's
holidays
a Tuesday.
Do that, especially when you work Sunday and Monday. And
Rossi has a viral tweet about Tuesday after a long weekend. You see Jason D. Rossi?
Watch out now.
Viral tweet?
Yeah. How many likes does it got? That's a lot of likes.
Seven?
I don't know.
Eight?
I think it's at 13.
Okay, good.
It's like 16,000.
Wow.
16,000.
Yeah, it's just one of those weird...
68,000?
16,000.
Oh, okay.
Come on, Keith.
What is this about?
I just took
the Krug, the video from like behind the net where Krug just paddles his way down the ice, and I just put like a Tuesday morning after a holiday weekend coming at you like dot, dot, dot.
Pretty good.
Boom. Next thing you know, social media.
And then I said, somebody's got a case of the Mondays. No likes.
But I forgot it was Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
I forgot it was Tuesday, which means Kiefer Madness is coming up at 12:30 today. And I didn't mean to bury the lead.
No, don't worry about that. It's going to be Stanley Cup related. We're not going too far afield here, but it will be Stanley Cup related.
Does it involve poop?
We'll see.
Well, we talked about poop in the cup earlier when the cup was here with us.
You talked about
poop in the cup. I was pointing out to Rossi, who is a germaphobe, that you know he might not want to be slugging those 14 beers out of the cup.
No, that's me and Shannon's department. We're going to scorpion bowl that thing when it comes back in here.
I would do a scorpion bowl out there, but the poop thing's got me a little...
All right, fine. We'll get you a third straw.
I'd have to be like...
talked yourself into it. Fine.
He'd have to desanitize everything.
Immediately to the doctor.
Right there. We get back to the calls with you coming up in just a couple of minutes. 617-779-7937. Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.